This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Parents in the front seat, two kids in the back, and a trunk filled with stuff. Like a lot of people, my guest Robert Sullivan is taking a long car trip over the holiday. Longer than most, he's traveling cross-country by car with his wife and two children. He lives in New York, but he has family on both coasts, which is one reason why he's traveled cross-country by car about 30 times. Now he's written a new memoir called Cross Country. It's got a long but great subtitle, 15 years and 90,000 miles on the roads and interstates of America with Lewis and Clark, a lot of bad motels, a moving van, Emily Post, Jack Kerouac, my wife, my mother-in-law, two kids, and enough coffee to kill an elephant. Sullivan has joined us several times on the show, most recently to discuss his book, Rats. Let's start with a reading from Cross Country, and then we'll ask his two children about life in the back seat.
We're packed in. The kids in the back, the parents in front, our stuff filling the trunk piled up around our knees. In our hearts, we're excited. We're excited in the part of our hearts that knows 3,000 miles is doable. A snap, 3 or 4, or, longest case scenario, 5 days, which is about as much time as we have. Like many Americans, we have stuff to do, stuff to deal with. And about as much time as we can stand. In our hearts, we're also weary. We're weary in the part that's done this before, that knows that 3,000 miles is a long, long way, that has been out late at night on a dark road when our eyes have been trying to stay awake, and our eyes only wish, like all the rest of our tired bodies, that they were not driving anymore.
Well, Robert Sullivan, how many times do you think you've traveled cross-country by car?
Traveled for 15 years, more than 2 times a year, so a couple of dozen times. One time we did 5 round trips in a year.
No.
Yep.
Why have you been traveling cross-country by car so much over the years?
Basically, it started out having to do with the fact that I was dating somebody who lived in Oregon, and I lived in New York. And then it went from dating someone who lives in Oregon to marrying that person from Oregon, and then to having grandparents on the East Coast and the West Coast, and having to go back and forth to see those grandparents with the grandchildren. And frankly, I'm a writer. I mean, you know, I can't make tickets early for planes, and so if either you go at the last minute and pay $18 million or you drive. And up to about this year, it's still been economical to drive, but I fear that this is... Well, I always think that the year we do it is the last year we're going to do it, but we'll see.
There's one passage in your book where you're packing up the car, you're getting ready for another cross-country trip, and you say to yourself, why do we do this to our kids? What do you think you put your kids through when you have to do a 3,000-mile cross-country car trip?
Well, of course, I don't know what I put them through because, as anybody can tell you, especially them, I am not them. But, you know, when sometimes kids get these puzzles when they're little, a little United States puzzle where you try to remember where to put the states and so forth. I remember that when my son was very young, he could do that very early on. So I think we put him through a lot, and we're always saying, oh my gosh, we shouldn't drive. On the other hand, when we did fly very recently, one time we flew, I felt, and I think at some point all of us felt as if we were cheated somehow. We've gone through a lot. There's a lot of, you know, everybody hold on. It's one more day. We'll just eat some cheese and crackers in the gas station. But on the other hand, we've stopped in these amazing little state parks. And at some point, maybe after they grow up despising us for driving them so so much, at some point, our hope is, I think I can speak for my wife in this one moment, our hope is that they'll say, I remember a waterfall, or I remember a really nice guy in that rest stop, or I remember those people who, they weren't in any rooms, but they let us stay.
Well, Robert, while we have this nice conversation, as we speak, your wife is preparing for a family trip cross-country tomorrow. It will be you, your wife, and your two children. And your two children happen to be in the studio with you, your daughter Louise, who is 10, your son Sam, who is 15. And Sam and Louisa, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about your experiences of cross-country travel. Are you looking forward to or dreading this big trip tomorrow?
I'm looking forward to it, but I'm kind of also dreading it, so yeah.
And Sam?
Same answer. I would be probably okay with flying, a little bit okay with it.
Robert, did you hear that?
Yes, I did. Yes.
So what do you both do, Sam, Louise, what do you both do to keep yourself, busy during this really long car drive?
Well, I have a lot of books that I read, and of course my mom tells me that I don't have enough, but, I read most of the time, and also a lot of sleeping. We do a lot of sleeping, but sometimes we miss all the sights, but, yeah, and a lot of, being annoying to, one's brother or sister, so, yeah.
Sam, what do you do to keep busy?
Well, in the past, my sister and mother are really, really productive in the car. They're like, craft stuff, and never really been able to do that. So either I read, or I But now this trip, I get to take musical instruments in the car with me. So I guess I'll just be practicing my fretted stringed instruments nonstop, and driving my sister insane.
Do you as a family ever revert to singing songs together on the road to keep occupied and entertained?
Oftentimes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah? What are the songs of preference?
Trad.
Yes, trad. Or folk. Or something like that.
They're hardcore trad. Or as it's sometimes said, trad is, it's rad.
Trad is rad.
But I didn't know what trad meant until this year, so.
So what does it mean?
Well, it's an abbreviation for traditional, so. Yeah,
so are you doing traditional folk music or traditional jazz?
Mostly traditional, both, but mostly traditional folk. I mean, yeah.
It's hard. There's a lot of trad.
Yeah, so much trad.
Should I ask for a rousing version of a car favorite, a cross country car favorite?
That'd be if it's okay. All right, can we do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like that.
I mean, Carrie, is it okay?
Please.
Okay. How's this? Okay. Here we go.
Do you actually have a guitar with you?
Yes, we have all our instruments. Not all of them, but...
Did you know it's National Accordion Awareness Month?
Dad just got an accordion that he's very excited about, so...
This is going to be like a traveling family act. Who knew?
We're kind of like, we look a lot like the Von Trapp family.
Yeah.
Except it's like Homer Simpson instead of Christopher Plummer. Although I'm not quite as good looking as Homer Simpson. Okay, wait up. One.
Wow, who knew you'd sound so good? I was thinking more of my family. You guys are good.
You're nice to say so. But,
no, you must actually have fun doing this in the car together.
I do. I'm sure that'll be another thing that they'll bring up in court against me, you know, people, when the restraining order is put out. So
just to clarify, I should explain. You're in a studio in New York. I'm in a studio in Philadelphia, so I'm not seeing you. So, Robert, that's you on accordion, and Sam, you on guitar, and obviously Louise, that's you singing. You have a really beautiful voice.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Robert, I can only hope that when you're playing accordion, your wife is driving?
But when I'm playing accordion, of course, I'm driving her. Well, I don't have to finish the sentence, I'm sure you know, but it is a button accordion, which, of course, is a big distinction among accordion players. Not that I could be, you know, technically considered an accordion player, given the way I play accordion.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Robert and his son Sam Sullivan and daughter Louise Sullivan. And Robert has written a new book called Cross Country, 15 Years and 9,000 Miles on the Road. And it's about traveling cross country back and forth many times with his family by car. When you're traveling as a family by car, I mean, I think one of the big issues is who gets to decide when you stop for the rest stop? You know, and is this a matter of dispute when you're all traveling together, whether it's time for a bathroom stop yet or not?
I think that most of it, like, if we're all hungry, we need to stop at a rest stop because they have lots of food. Well, not really food, but stuff that you can't eat. But also it's because you need to go to the bathroom. So I think that's mostly when, like, my mom needs to go to the bathroom or needs food because she's kind of like the head. And so we all follow her. So, yeah, I think that's when we stop.
You know, as the non-head, I think the parents are always confused because, you know, on the cross-country car trips, because they're saying, okay, now we're going to stop for the rest. Here comes the rest stop, or let's stop for the rest stop. Okay, we stop for the rest stop, and then we're trying to move. The parent sees it as, okay, we're trying to keep going, but now there's a call to use the rest stop. But we just stopped. I thought we just stopped at the rest. So that's kind of the paradigm. Well, that, yes?
I actually, I think that maybe after having driven cross-country all these times, sort of like impeccable bladder control has been eaten into me.
Yeah, it's true. Sam has almost never stopped going cross country. It's pretty amazing. So
I'm able to shut down all body functions completely.
But he's also a teenager, so that's another thing. Yeah, that's part of the
Now, what kinds of like devices do you travel with to keep busy? Do you have like iPods? Do you listen to the radio? What do you do to keep yourselves plugged in?
I used to have an iPod, but I can't really focus on an iPod. I need a CD player because I switch from song to song. You know, I can only listen to 30 seconds of a song now. I officially have no attention span anymore.
Oh, hey, that's great.
No, but CD players let me listen to the entire, you know, really appreciate the entire, you know, not just a single. Although it's sort of cool that with iTunes, it's sort of brought back the single. You know, now singles are being released again. It's pretty cool.
I do not have an iPod, and I do have a CD player, like a Walkman. But mostly, everyone picks out like 25 CDs. And then we have 100 CDs to go through cross country, so we each get to pick. But that's kind of a problem because most everyone wants their CD to play because that's one they like a lot.
Well, Sam and Louise, I'm going to let you leave the studio and move around and stuff while I talk to your father a little bit more. But listen, I really appreciate you talking with us, and I appreciate you playing for us. I mean, I really had no idea. So thanks a lot, and have a great trip.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye, and thank you.
Bye.
My guest is Robert Sullivan. His new book, Cross Country, is a memoir about traveling cross country by car, which he's done about 30 times. When I spoke with him yesterday, his family was preparing to leave today for yet another cross country road trip. I asked him what he's driving.
As a concession to the troops, we're going in a minivan. I've only done that once before. If it was just me making the decision, we wouldn't be in a minivan for several reasons, one of which I think it's going to cost more. But the other is that everybody, if you're in the back seat, I can't talk to you. I can't bore you with historical details of the trip. And now you could see why I would, and how could I do this to these people? Why would you want to be with me? But we can't talk. We can't talk at all. But, you know, but I think we'll do some seat shifting time to time. We'll see. I'm sure, you know, I have a feeling that this is the year there'll be a headline in the newspaper about, you know, the car found abandoned on the side of the road and just the father in it. And first, you know, people might be worried about the kids, but then they'll realize, oh, no, the kids were smart. They got out of there, and so they left him, and yeah.
You know, one of the things that you've done in your book is alternate between your story of being on the road and more historical stories. So you tell the story of, like, the Lewis and Clark expedition as you're traveling through the Pacific Northwest, and you write about, like, the history of roadside motels, and you write about Jack Kerouac and his version of being on the road. Has it made your trips any more interesting to have all these kind of literary and historical companions as you were traveling?
Well, I have this kind of disease where, you know, I want to know why everything is the way it is. Recently we found out that the song Don't Fence Me In by Cole Porter,
mm-hmm.
was actually co-written by a Montana, as I understand it, a Montana state highway official, maybe an engineer, I'm not sure, who is the guy who also wrote the Montana historical roadside plaques, which I always thought were quite good plaques, quite well written. And so he co-wrote that song with Cole Porter, didn't get credit at first. Supposedly Porter wanted to give him credit. I don't know. But so I just feel like there's so much, I have way too much excitement about, you know, stuff that's interesting along the road in terms of history. But I guess lately I've been thinking about how the road itself is this American public space, this public space everywhere. The road is, as that landscape historian, J.B. Jackson, this genius writer, says, the road is the first public space.
What's your favorite kind of place to stop for breakfast?
Oh, I'm remembering a place right off the interstate in Idaho, in northern Idaho, I think near Kellogg, in kind of an old mining area. But there's a place, it's a diner on the side of the road, and we had pan-fried trout and scrambled eggs and pancakes, and it was really local, even though it was, you know, kind of where a fast food restaurant would have been. But that's really, I feel like pancakes is the really national food that always can have this local variation. I remember we had wild huckleberries in the pancakes once in the morning in Butte, Montana, and there was an old timer who was running this kind of drugstore that served breakfast. And I remember Charles Kuralt had been in there, you know, one of the great road chroniclers. And breakfast is the great road meal. I mean, forget dinner, forget lunch. I mean, you know, you have to do those things once in a while. But breakfast, the great road breakfast, and then you're ready to go. But my favorite kind is you know, a pancake with something that reflects the localness of the place.
Well, have a really good trip.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Robert Sullivan's new book is called Cross Country.